And now it's time for the Long Island Abate Motorcycle Show. Here's your host, Jim Barr.
Welcome to the Long Island Abate Motorcycle Show. Long Island Abate is a 501c3 organization which addresses the needs and concerns of the motorcycle community here on Long Island. Our name, American Bikers for Awareness, Training, and Education, describes the goals and purpose of our organization. We hope that you never have to use the information presented here today, but we as motorcyclists know any accident involving a motorcycle is a serious accident. Joining me today are Kathy File, an EMT from the Mastic Ambulance Company, and Don Gomo, safety editor of American Iron Magazine. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Jim.
Last week's topic was related to motorcycle skills improvement through training to help prevent the risks associated with motorcycling. This week's topic is on accident scene management to discuss information to prepare you in the event of a crash. So, Kathy, what kind of advice do you have for us when preparing for a ride?
The first thing I would have to say is to be prepared with the equipment and information that you need. Every rider should have identification on them. They should also have a contact number where they can somebody could be contacted in case of an emergency. You want to have a card. You want your contact. You want your medical history. And you want the medication that you're on. Medication that you're on is very important for treatment later. And also, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, today that are on blood thinners and different medications that enhance the severity of the injury because of what they're taking. You want to have a list of that. You want to also let the people that you're riding with know where that information is located. And you want to have the people that you're riding with know your contact information.
For those of you that are associated with clubs, chapters, groups, one thing to consider with your organization is to develop a sign-in sheet for every single ride. Have the rider put his name or her name down, their cell number, as well as a contact person's name and number for the day of the ride. In the event of a situation, you have that information ready for you. If you're riding solo, consider a card or a piece of paper. Tape it or paperclip it to your license. In the event that you're unconscious, one of the first things emergency personnel will do will look for ID of you. If it's attached to it, the information will be ready to them also.
Good idea.
Another thing you want to do is to keep a small first aid kit either in your saddlebag or on a backpack that you might be carrying. This way, if an emergency does occur, that you'll be ready to assist if needed. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be expensive. What it should contain, a minimal, is a pocket mask in case the person does stop breathing, so that you can assist with breathing, a pair of gloves, non-latex gloves preferably. You want to have some gauze pad to stop bleeding. And you also want to have either made tourniquet or you can use a belt. Anything that you can make a tourniquet with should there be profusely bleeding and you have to stop the bleeding.
So in other words, tourniquets are permissible again now?
Yes.
Don't they keep changing their mind on that?
They have before, but it saves lives. And if you're in a situation where somebody is profusely bleeding and you can't stop it, a normal way to stop bleeding would be to put pressure on it, do direct pressure, do elevation, do a pressure point. Sometimes that doesn't stop it if it's severe. And unfortunately, motorcycle crashes do produce severe injuries at times. A lot of times lower extremities,
right,
where there's severe bleeding. And putting a tourniquet on can save somebody's life. It can save them from bleeding out. And it's an easy process to do. And it's definitely important to know how to do it and to carry something that you can use as a tourniquet.
Yeah, good point.
And another thing when you're dealing with club rides, organized rides, pay attention to the rider's meeting, the information that the road captain or the ride leader of the day is given to you. You may be going into an area that you're not familiar of. And if an accident does happen, you may not even know what road you're on. And if you call 911, first thing you're going to ask, what kind of accident, who is involved, where are you? You should know the information. Designate one person in your group that's going to be the command person. If it ever happens that there's an accident, one person should take the lead delegate, tell one person to call 911. If it's needed for traffic, they control the traffic situations. Unfortunately, when a motorcycle accident occurs, whether you're riding solo or with a couple of buddies or with a group, a lot of things can happen, and the situations are not the same all the time. And you have to react sometimes quickly. There may be fuel issues at an accident where you have to make sure that there's no problems with fire. Heavy traffic, you have to decide whether it's safer to leave the person in the road or side of the road or pull them off the road. You have to make sometimes quick judgment calls. And if you have somebody that's delegating people to do certain things, it will be a little bit smoother. It may save seconds that are important.
And you say save seconds that are important. I just came back from Texas from the National Coalition of Motorcyclists Convention, and they gave a lot of presentations and seminars down there. And one of the seminars I attended was accident scene management. And perhaps you might even know the instructor, Slider Gilmore.
Yeah, he's very good at what he does. He's out of Wisconsin. He's basically was the key person of this accident scene management organization. There are other groups around the country that do the same. Great information. It's also something that you could find online just by typing in a search for accident scene management. You can find an awful lot of information that will help you with this. One thing that I learned from taking a course for accident scene management that I've never considered is for us that are riding solo. Some of us do ride in the evening. A little tip is to take some reflective tape, mount it on the bottom of your saddlebags, mount it on the bottom of your motorcycle frame. You're not going to see it when you're riding around regularly. But in the event that you go down.
Did I understand correct? You say you mount it underneath?
Underneath, absolutely underneath. You got to figure in most cases if it's crashed, the bike is laying on its side.
I never thought of that.
Okay. It's nighttime. In the event of the crash, your electronics may not be working. There may not be lights. You may be on a dark road. If it's a solo accident, especially, you may be laying on the side of the road or close to your bike, not being able to do something. The car comes around the corner, they're not going to see the vehicle or you. If you have some reflective taping on the bottom of your bike, it may help bring attention to the driver. All of a sudden, it reflects and they see the bike, so that's something to consider.
Never would have thought of anything like that.
I didn't either, and I thought it was a great tip.
I remember I hit a deer on the Jersey Turnpike coming back from Tennessee. It was 4 in the morning, and it was the desolate section of the Jersey Turnpike down by mile marker 16, and I hit it with the bike. I pulled off to the side, and the place was pitch black, and the deer hadn't died yet. He was slain in the road, and it took me about 150 yards to actually come to a complete stop. When I came back to it, my biggest concern was going to be that a vehicle is going to be coming down the road now, not see this thing laying in the road, and then swerve, and there I am standing on the side of the road. Right. You know, fortunate for me, the police did show up within a couple of minutes, and I was able to, like, flag down a couple of cars that did come by. But if that was me and a motorcycle laying in the middle of the road, there's no way that they're going to be seen until the last minute. Somebody's doing 60 miles an hour, come across something laying in the road. You don't have a chance.
Right.
One of the things Slider kept emphasizing throughout the whole seminar, he emphasized how important it was for somebody to receive proper medical attention. So he emphasized on the things you can do, make sure where you know where you are while you're traveling, the mile marker on the highway, what road you might have turned down, like you were saying previously. He kept emphasizing every minute saved could be the difference between somebody living or dying.
Well, what we have is what's called a golden hour, which means from the time of the incident occurred till the time definitive care is given, which means surgery, if surgery is needed, that they're in for surgery, it should not take more than an hour.
Okay, in fact, he used that exact same phrase. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was an industry standard phrase, golden hour
has been out there for many, many years. The time span increases and increases if people don't have the directions that they need to give that to the police, the ambulance, fire department, if needed. Because then they go and they have a roundabout area, but you got to go searching for it. And unfortunately, motorcycles, it's even a little bit more difficult than with vehicles. Because if you're hit and thrown off the road, it's a little harder to find a motorcycle off the road than it is to find a vehicle or a truck off the road.
No, absolutely. And what Kathy is saying, in the event of a solo accident, it's just you or maybe you came upon a motorcycle on the road. there's a possibility that the person could have been ejected for whatever circumstances of the accident, and now you have to look for them.
Right, or two people, perhaps.
Or two people, mm-hmm. And you won't know. If you find somebody unconscious, you may just assume it's one person being the rider. Right. You may have just found the passenger. Now you've got to find the rider.
Right, and if the person is unconscious that you find, you won't know if there's another person involved.
Absolutely.
If at all possible, leave the patient where they are. Try to protect them from the area. If it's in a dangerous situation, if you're in the middle of the Long Island Expressway, you're on a road with traffic where it's not stopping, and you have to move the patient for their safety, what you want to do is try to do it in a single unit, a full unit, arms to the side if possible. You want to keep the head in line with the spine as long as you can. If somebody can hold stabilization, it's great. And then just pull them a straight unit to a safe place where they're not going to get hit by another car. Unfortunately, a lot of accidents that do occur are secondary. You'll stop to help someone, or you'll be standing to assist, and a car will come by, not see you, and hit you also. So you want to make sure that you get to a safe place, because if you're not safe and the patient's not safe, you're not helping anybody.
And you talk about moving the victim, but that is only under extreme circumstances, right?
Don't you always want to try to leave them? Safety reasons. You always want to survey the scene, make sure the scene is safe for you and for the rider that's down. But if it's not a safe location that you're in, if you're in the middle of an intersection, that's not a safe location to be. If you have to move the patient, make sure that the arms are down, make sure that you move the body in a straight line this way and get to the side of the road or where it's safer for you to be and for the victim to be.
And I think I've always heard, always leave the helmet on. Is that correct?
If you can leave the helmet on, if you can't, if it's a situation where they have to receive mouth-to-mouth, if they're not breathing, you might have to do CPR on the person. You cannot open an airway with a helmet on. If they're wearing a full shield helmet, you might not be able to actually even reach the airway. So if you have to remove the helmet, do it with the full body line. Make sure that the head is in line with the body and take it off carefully. I do suggest, especially for some of the newer helmets that are out there, if you're riding with friends and they have a full face mask and it's some of the newer helmets that are out there or the helmets that are coming from Europe, that you practice taking it off before an emergency happens. It doesn't come off the same way as a regular helmet. You just, you know, take it off. These ones you actually have to, the face shield only goes up partial way. You actually have to pull it, push it in a little bit because of the mechanisms of the helmet itself, and then take it off. Finding out how to do that in an emergency situation is not the right time. Do it before time.
I just want to emphasize that first thing you should do when you evaluate and check the scene of the situation, you check the person that's involved or persons. If they're breathing and there's no signs of vomiting or anything that, like Kathy mentioned, leave the helmet on. And sometimes riders get spinal injury from people trying to remove their helmet because they're doing it incorrectly. And nowadays, technology has gotten so advanced with even helmets that there's, as Cassie stated, there's mechanisms in the side to release for visors, for modular helmets. Everyone's a little bit different because they want to have their own design. So if you're not sure how to do it, be very careful to find somebody that knows how to remove it properly.
If somebody is breathing and it seems to be okay, then I guess the general rule is going to be leave the helmet alone and don't touch
it. Right. If they're talking to you, they're breathing.
And one thing I know Kathy will agree on, just about everybody should consider taking a CPR first aid class. As much as I've never taken them before, when I become an instructor, I'm required to take them. I'm grateful that I am, but I've learned things that I've never considered before, where we're saying if they're breathing, a person may be gasping, but they may be require CPR, and we think they're breathing. So there's scenarios that if you don't know, you may be doing more damage. So an afternoon learning CPR and some first aid can save a friend, a family member, or a total stranger that would be grateful for you forever for doing that.
Well, sounds like something that Long Island Abate should start doing regularly. Perhaps we could start doing our own CPR classes at the new Long Island Abate headquarters.
Great thing. We have plenty of members, and I think everybody would benefit.
Right, it's always good to know what to do in these situations, whether we're riding or not riding.
Everyone should have first aid CPR knowledge. It doesn't have to be an extensive course. It doesn't have to be a certified course. It just has to be the knowledge of the course itself. We do courses for Girl Scouts, for Boy Scouts. We, you know, they learn CPR, they learn basic first aid.
I think that'd be a great thing. As well as some of the information that we're discussing here, we should let the members know. We're letting the audience know, but we should get the message to everyone because it's helpful. We have scenarios where, as we discussed, the rider may be unconscious. There's scenarios where the rider may have had a crash and is conscious. And unfortunately, I've had a crash in my day of 40-something years of riding, and my first response is probably the same as everybody else's. How's my bike? I'm not caring about myself. I'm ready to jump up and go check my bike or get it off the street. You have to try and keep the people calm. They may not be even injured at all, but they're in shock and they may be doing something wrong.
Is that the reason you see people asking, what's your name? Where are you? Do you know what happened to you? Is that to check for shock?
That tells you the level of consciousness of the person.
They give you, if you ask them their name and you may not know it, they give you a name. So you don't know, but you ask them where they are. If they say they're in Kansas and you know you're on Long Island, you have a problem to start with there. And the day of the week, if you say, what day is it? And they say Saturday and it's a Monday, you know there's problems going there. So there's simple steps to do. And the learning process of all this information may seem overwhelming, but it really isn't. A majority of it is common sense. When we talked about motorcycle training last week, part of it was being aware of the road, of the situations around you. We should be aware. We may not know, but we probably have passed a sign marker or a road sign or, at worst, a gas station or a delicatessen that could give you some kind of indication where you are to pass this information along.
And unfortunately, a lot of crashes and collisions happen very close to the home because people take the routes that they use all the time for granted. So they don't look for us. They don't look for motorcyclists. They don't look for potholes. They don't look for any of that because they ride on that every day. So you don't look for your surroundings as much.
You become complacent. Yeah. Whether you're driving a car or riding the motorcycle, the statistics show that a lot of accidents happen within the 3 mile range of your home. Your guard starts to come down. You're going home. And that's when things really happen.
One of the first things they do in an accident prevention course, whether it be driving a motorcycle, a scooter, driving a car, a truck, is to realize your surroundings. Always be aware of what's going on around you. And I know everybody can turn around and say, you left work, you got pulled into your driveway, and you really don't know what happened.
Isn't it funny
between.
How that happens? It's amazing.
And I mean, you really did not look. So if you don't remember like anything that happened on the route home, it's hard for them to readjust their thinking patterns to always be aware of their surroundings. And that's a thing that we have to do because if other people aren't, we have to be extra careful.
And another thing to consider that is on the non-medical side of an accident. If you're riding with somebody, there's an accident within a group, or you're involved in an accident and you're not physically hurt, is document a lot of information. Everybody's phone takes pictures. Take tons of pictures. Leave the bike where it is, if possible. If traffic dictates that you can leave it there, take tons of pictures. It seems a little gory to be taking pictures of somebody that's lying on the ground hurt, but you should be taking these pictures for documentation. Get as much information of any witnesses that may have seen it besides you. Get as much information, if it's another vehicle, about that other vehicle, the time of day, the weather, road conditions. Everything that you can think of, write it down. It may seem trivial, but it could be very important. Unfortunately, we deal with lawyers when it comes to accidents. Okay, whether we're right or wrong, we need to defend ourselves the best we can. And having as much information is to our benefit.
I guess names and phone numbers of any witnesses, too, should be taken down.
Oh, absolutely. The more you can document, the better. The more pictures you can get, walk around in a circle. That's maybe one thing that the person that's doing the delegating delegates a person to two, get the information. And that's their job. They don't have to worry about the person that's involved in the accident. They're getting the information, and they should go to task. And that's very helpful to do something like that.
Not that I want to open up this whole other category. We'll do this in another show, but I guess you guys are well aware that there is no such thing as no-fault medical coverage for motorcyclists in New York State.
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
So, like I said, this is going to be a whole other show. Real quick comment out there to everybody on a motorcycle. If you're injured in a motorcycle crash, you do not have medical coverage from your insurance company. So hopefully you have your own health insurance.
Right. That's a very good point. You need to educate yourself on the logistics of this, because none of us want to be in an accident. None of us consider we're going to be in an accident. But
we all know it's a very big reality, especially for us.
It's the major risk of motorcycling. Risk is our four-letter word. Accident is another big one. We don't want to crash. We should know what's covered and what's not.
One other thing that we have, unfortunately, at the scene when a motorcyclist is involved, if they're conscious, a lot of times there's resistance from the person to remove or to have to cut through clothing, whether it's removing a jacket or if they have to cut a jacket. Leathers are expensive. We all know that. But is it worth your life?
But I could picture people turn around and saying, no, you're not cutting my chaps or my vest. Or
sometimes it gets very difficult to handle that situation.
Really?
Because, I mean, if you see a deformed leg and you know you have to treat it and they're adamantly refusing for you to cut the chaps off or the leather, you know, pants that they have on, it makes it difficult for you to do your job and possibly to save their life.
Right. We have to consider that our riding gear, we wear protective gear. It's for that reason, to protect ourselves. If you're wearing it, it may have prevented some further damage, but it did its job.
Right.
At this point,
you're alive.
Time for a new pair.
Yes. If it means cutting your leather jacket apart that you've had for the past 40 years and it's got every girlfriend's name on it, so be it. Listen, it could save your life by... You can take it and mount it on the wall afterwards.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Attention contractors and all business owners. Not happy with your insurance agent or broker? Are you just paying too much? Specialized Insurance opens 7 a.m. A five-minute call can save you up to 50%. Call 631-758-6780. We insure all types of businesses, including property, workers' comp, and liability. Specialized Insurance can even package all your policies together. Any business, any size. We don't charge fees for certificates or New York Comp Fund renewals. Celebrating 22 years in business. Are you tired of paying too much for your auto, home, flood, motorcycle, or any of your insurance? Just one call does it all. Call Specialized Insurance at 631-758-6780 for all of your insurance needs, including life and health and anything else. More coverage, less money. There's no need to go anywhere else. Let Specialized Insurance help you save with over 50 companies to choose from. We do the shopping for you. We also have homeowners warranties. Never pay for a repair again. Call 631-758-6780 or log on to specializedinsurance.com.
Download our app at smmm.us.
If you ride, you likely know the name Mitchell Proner, the attorney who handles more motorcycle accident cases each year than the average lawyer sees in a lifetime. A longtime biker and advocate for riders' rights, Mitchell has settled or tried motorcycle cases to verdicts in at least 30 New York County Supreme Courts. But what you might not be aware of is his unmatched pro bono record with many motorcycle rights organizations, including Long Island Debate. That's why they recommend Mitchell's latest free rider resource, the Motorcyclist's Handbook. Each page delivers strategies for staying safe and making sure you and your family are prepared in the unfortunate event of a motorcycle accident. So grab your free copy today at bikerhelp.com or call 1-800-PRO-LAW-1. For the last 25 years, motorcycle accident victims and their families have turned to Mitchell for advice. Remember, if you or a loved one is injured in a motorcycle accident, call 1-800-PRO-LAW-1 or visit bikerhelp.com. And don't forget to grab the Motorcyclist's Handbook for free. Again, call 1-800-PRO-LAW or bikerhelp.com.
Welcome back to the Long Island Debate Motorcycle Show. With me today is Don Gomo, safety editor of American Iron Magazine, and Kathy File, an EMT from the Mastic Ambulance Company. This week's topic is on accident scene management, to discuss information to prepare you in the event of a crash. So, Kathy, what kind of advice do you have for us when preparing for a ride?
Another good thing to carry on your bike with you is an emergency blanket, which folds up to less than probably a cigarette pack.
Really?
It looks It looks like almost like aluminum foil. They're about less than $4.
Really?
And it can save a life.
Are those like a thermal type of a?
It's reflective and it keeps in the body heat. So if the person did lose blood or they're going into a shock situation and you're waiting for an ambulance to get there or you're a distance from where, you know, an ambulance can get to you, just putting that on a patient, you know, wrapping them in it, can actually save their life because it'll keep in their body heat that they have. And you can also, they're very strong, you can actually log roll a patient, keeping the body and the spine in a straight line, and you can, it can help you assist to get them off the side of the road.
Really, did that strong?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. They use a version of that in the wildfires, different things like that. It's a thicker version, but they can actually get under that if they're caught in the fire.
Okay.
And less than $4, most hunting places have it. You can get it online. It's a great thing, and you can put it anywhere on the bike.
Sounds like a good idea.
And another thing to consider that is not really related to medical side is if you're a person or one of the people contacting the emergency contact number, when you talk to those people, tell them whoever it is was involved in a motorcycle accident. If there's emergency services there, tell them that people are here to help, the ambulance is here, and try and tell them where they're bringing it to. Don't elaborate, it's really bad, it's really terrible. Now you're raising their stress level, and the first thing they're going to do is hop in their vehicle to rush to the hospital. They're under stress, they're panicking. That may cause them to have an accident. So the calmness works in all aspects of this, even when you're relaying information to others.
And it's important when you're relaying information, when you're calling 911, is to give them as much information as you can. The age of the patient, the possible injuries that they have. A lot of times when you're going to the scene in an ambulance, they can prepare ahead of time.
Right.
Also, they can get the equipment that they need ready, and they'll be prepared when they get there.
Also, let them know if you think they're going to need more than one ambulance. If one person is severely injured, they're going to take an ambulance corps themselves to be working on them. If there's more than one person injured, you're going to need more than one ambulance at the site. So that's information you should get to the 911 operator or whoever you're in contact with, too.
I wouldn't have thought of that. So in other words, if a motorcycle goes down with two people aboard, you do want to share that information with the 911 operator?
Absolutely.
But they would actually send two ambulances then.
Yeah, and let them know the urgency of the accident. If you, not that we're doctors or EMTs, we're just regular people, but if we think it's really bad, I know every accident looks bad, but if we say, listen, one person's really hurt bad.
Or if somebody's not breathing.
Right, you know, you may need more than one ambulance here. That information for them to dispatch can be helpful for the second person especially.
Okay, and if you're going to make an error, I guess you're going to err on the side of caution,
right,
and order two of them.
Absolutely.
I hope everybody found today's information helpful. The intent of today's show wasn't to certify anybody as an EMT now, but just to give some general information that might be able to help you save somebody's life while you're out there on the roads. Again, I'd like to thank Don Gomo, safety editor of American Iron Magazine, for joining us again today.
Thank you for having us.
And also Kathy File, an EMT from the Mastic Ambulance Company. Thank you both very much. We really appreciate the information that you provided for us today.
Thank you, and everybody be safe out there.
Right, safe.
Okay, and according to the 2014 Long Island Abate Motorcyclist Handbook, on May 24th, we have the I Don't Know Motorcycle Club hosting their Lend a Helping Hand run. For more information on that, you can go to the Long Island Abate website at longislandabate.org and look up our current newsletter for this month, and it'll have all the details in there. If you would like your motorcycle event listed on the Long Island Abate Motorcycle Show, give us a call at 888-LI-ABATE or send us an email at longislandabate@aol.com. I'd like to conclude by saying that Long Island Abate needs members in order to be effective. If you haven't done so yet, go to our website at longislandabate.org and sign up and become a member. Right now, we're about 800 strong and continuing to grow. So check us out, join us, and be a part of us. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Mitch Proner of Proner & Proner Law Firm and Rich Rossi of Specialized Insurance. And this week, we also have Steve's Motorcycle School supporting us. I'd like to thank all these sponsors very much, and without their support, the show would not be possible. I'd like to invite everybody to tune in next Sunday at 7 a.m. for the next edition of the Long Island Abate Motorcycle Show. And with that, I'd like to ask our listeners, please look twice, save a life. Motorcycles are everywhere.
Well, I might go get me a new tattoo. I'll take my old Harley for a 3-day cruise.
I'd even grow me a Fu Manchu. And it's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. There's some hard times in the neighborhood, but why can't every day be just this good? It's a great day.